For those of you who are unaware, there is a tremendous festival that's coming up this weekend, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the UIC Pavilion is the Good Food Festival. And today on the phones, we have Jim Slama. Is it okay, Jim, if we call you the father of the Good Food Festival?
Well, certainly the founder.
Okay.
And, and producer, and I like to go there and have some fun.
Fabulous. And then we also have on the phones Paul Saginaw. Welcome, Paul. Paul is with Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor, and you will be part of the Good Food Festival this coming week.
Yes, I will. I'm looking forward to it.
And so let's start with you, Jim. So for the folks that have not attended the Good Food Festival, and this is actually your 10th year, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting. I'm sure that, when you first started, did you have any idea it would be going this long?
Well, for years I had gone to the Natural Products Expo in California, which was a trade show for organic and natural foods. And, it's going on this weekend in L.A., and over 50,000 people are there, and it's this trade show bringing everybody together. And we didn't have anything like that in the kind of sustainable local food world. And so, when I launched it, I had hopes that it would turn into the gathering place, at least a regional gathering place for people who cared about this, for businesses, for farmers, for consumers, for trade buyers. And you know what? Sometimes your dreams come true, because it has.
Well, so that's pretty interesting, because I think you brought up a good point, and that is that there's an awful lot of content here for a lot of different people. So food obviously touches everyone's life, some because it's their form of income, some because, we are all consumers. But so that the Thursday, could you break down how you have the festival organized? Because I think it's interesting that there's different days focused on different groups and their specific needs.
Sure. Well, Thursdays are Good Food Financing and Innovation Conference. And, basically we realized that there was a need for farmers and food businesses that are, kind of young, not well capitalized to grow. And in order to grow, they need either loans or they need somebody to write them a check as an investment. And so we created this event, 4 years ago as a way to connect these farm and food businesses with money. And so now we've got Whole Foods co-CEOs giving a keynote this day, and some real leaders nationally in food financing and innovation speaking. We've got some successful businesses talking about their stories. We've got some funders talking about what they're looking for in deals. And we've got over 20 businesses that are seeking capital, farms and food businesses, who at the financing fair will meet with investors. And six of them will actually present their business to the audience. And, hopefully they'll get some action and get funded. And actually, over the last 2 years, businesses that have been part of this have raised over $5 million in capital.
So are you kidding?
It's working. It's a good
Wow. Deal. Wow. And what types of businesses have they funded then? CSAs or?
One guy, Joe's Blues, had a big blueberry crop last year, and he was, it was either get some money to freeze it, or they were going to sit on the vines and rot. And so, he was part of our financing fair the year before. So, I hooked him up with Slow Fig, which is the sustainable local food investment group. And, they made a loan to him, and he froze his blueberry crop. So that's on the small side. On the big side, there's Farms Here, which is now turned into one of the largest vertical farms. So it's an indoor farming project in a 90,000-square-foot facility that is growing greens and basil and other crops. And, Farm Here has raised millions of dollars to get financed. They're employing 25 people. And, it's a huge success story. And we played a very important role in helping them get financed.
Well, and vertical farms are something that I find very interesting, especially as we, have more and more food challenges and the environment, has more and more risks. Can you explain just a little on the value of a vertical farm?
Well, you know, it's hyper-local. So basically, mm-hmm. this farm is in Bedford Park, 2 miles west of Midway, and it's serving the Chicago area. And, you know, it's certified organic. When it's done, they'll probably be growing $15 to $20 million worth of food a year in this facility and employing 150 people, most of whom are, you know, young people. Some of them are coming out of Growing Home, which is a program that works with homeless people and trains them to be organic farmers, or Windy City Harvest, which is another great program ran by the Chicago Botanic Garden, that works with at-risk people, some ex-offenders. And so, you know, it's changing these people's lives by, you know, giving them living wage jobs. And simultaneously, you know, they're growing a lot of food for, you know, selling it to Whole Foods and Mariano's and other retailers and soon to be restaurants. And, you know, it's really pretty amazing. And they do it in these very probably a couple hundred feet long. And then they stack these beds on top of each other. They're using LED grow lights. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, their arugula crop, from the time they plant the seed till the time it's harvested, is only 14 days. So, you know, they're turning around arugula 26 times a year, you know, out of the same bed, which is pretty remarkable.
That sounds incredibly efficient. And speaking of employers, Paul, we have Paul Saginaw from Zingerman's Deli. Now, your business, you'll be presenting. What day will you be there, Paul?
I'm not going to get there until late on Thursday, and I'm participating, speaking and on a panel on Friday and on Saturday.
And what will the focus of your presentation be?
Well, that's a good question, Jim.
Well, you know, Paul's all about entrepreneuring. And if you haven't been to Zingerman's in Michigan or purchased products from Zingerman's, which is, you know, one of the best delis in America, according to a whole lot of people. And Zingerman's has created how many businesses, Paul?
I'm actually representing Zingerman's community of businesses, and we're currently a community of eight separate operating entities. We started out with Zingerman's Delicatessen. There's now Zingerman's Bakehouse, where we produce traditional stone hearth oven breads, pastries, specialty cakes. There's Zingerman's Roadhouse, which is a full-service restaurant that features traditional American food. We have Zingerman's Coffee Company, which sources and roasts coffees. Zingerman's Candy Manufactory. We make some just amazing candy, the best candy bars you've ever had. We have Zingerman's Mail Order, where we ship our products around the country. Zingerman's Training Company, Zing Train, which their main product is our 2-day seminars where we train, we teach the systems that we use internally. I think there's some other businesses, but I'm missing them. One of my partners will be mad at me, I'm sure. And part of Zingerman's Roadhouse, we have Cornman Farms, which is an operating farm which supplies the Roadhouse with produce and livestock.
Well, Paul, how are all of these businesses connected to each other? What is the?
They're connected. They're connected really by a shared vision, a mission, and a set of guiding principles. We started in 1982. Actually, I'm going to be speaking on our 32nd anniversary. March 15th will be our 32nd anniversary.
And
my partner Ari Weinzweig and I opened Zingerman's Delicatessen in March of 1982 with myself and Ari and two employees. We did a little under $100 our first day, and we'll end this fiscal year with, I have 17 partners across eight businesses, about 650 employees, and around a little over $50 million in sales, all local. All of our businesses are local.
Wow.
We're related to each other in that my partner Ari and I are partners with all the other businesses, but they are, they're independent legal entities. And we share a brand and a vision and a set of guiding principles.
That's a very interesting way of doing things, Paul.
When we first opened, my partner and I, a part of our vision was that we wanted to be unique, and we said that if we were ever going to grow, we would never do it by replication, either by a company-owned chain or franchising. We felt that if there's more than one of you, you're not unique anymore. And we really wanted to be great and not big. And we had never seen an operation that was, you know, really good and then went on to grow by replication and got better. We always seemed to lose energy and lose focus and lose quality. So about 10 years into it, where we really, I wanted to have dynamic growth for our organization. I wanted the people that work for us to be able to afford to live in the community, to raise families, to send their children to school. And I wanted to have a robust benefits package. And in order to have that, we needed growth. And we decided we would grow by offering the opportunity to the people who worked with us to be owners in the brand and to pursue their own dreams within the scope of our vision. And so everybody that's a partner currently, other than me and Ari, they all started as frontline employees. And then they, you know, they were entrepreneurial. They discovered a passion for a given product or service. And we worked with them. We helped finance that. And we wanted to have synergy where we were customers and suppliers of each other. And that's how we grew the organization. And we continue to grow. We work on long-term visions. Our current one takes us to the year 2020, and we say we'll have 15 to 18 food-related businesses all in Ann Arbor.
But each one of those businesses is run by an individual with a personal vision. So that's an amazing thought of a way to do things.
Well, and a great way for employee retention, too. Why have them take their great ideas someplace else? Why not foster that, support them, and have them be part of the family? I mean, that sounds like a bit by the philosophy that you guys have been running under since 82.
Well, certainly from 94 was when we started to expand, but in 82, our philosophy was that we wanted to have an organization where decisions were not made based on who had the most authority, but who had a solution, who had a good idea, who had information and data relevant to an issue that we were dealing with. We wanted to push decision-making as far down in the organization as we could. And we are what's now known as a open book organization. So we practice open book management. We invite everybody to come in to help run the business. We teach everybody, financial intelligence, and we have everybody understand that they're personally responsible for the success of the business. So we share the winnings.
Well, I think that's exciting. I think it's remarkable that you've managed to hook up with Jim Slama, or Jim Slama has found you and poached you for the Good Food Festival. Jim, I know we've had a couple of the presenters over the last couple of weeks. So Friday's workshop is going to be more on, I see there's a session on food policy. And there's, an incredibly robust website. If you go to goodfoodfestivals.com, you'll be able to get the schedule, sign up for tickets. What else can people be in store for? Oh, which reminds me, we have a question. We wanted to give away some more tickets. We have another question. So before we talk about, don't mention Friday night, because we want our listeners to guess. We have a multiple question, a multiple choice question. The evening of Friday night, there is a banquet, and it is named, we'll give you three choices, Deli Local, Localicious, or the Best Foods Banquet. So please call us at WCPT, which is 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. And let us know the name of the Good Food Festival. Could you make that harder to say? Banquet, which is Deli Local, Localicious, or the Best Foods Banquets? So the first caller with the right answer will get a pair of tickets for the weekend. Yes, so Jim, I cut you off. So what else can people look forward to?
Sure. Well, you know, just to affirm, we're really excited to have Paul on board. And he's going to be part of the opening symposium at the trade show on Friday, along with Will Allen, you know, the rock star farmer from Growing Power, Fred Kirschenman, who's also another amazing farmer. Fred's doing a whole thing on ancient grains, both on Friday and Saturday. How do we grow and process more ancient grains in the Midwest and create a whole lot of more opportunities for family farmers and also consumers and businesses that want them? The head of USDA Farm to School program speaking, the head of the USDA Agricultural Marketing Services. And there's a great story in the New York Times today about a lot of new money in the farm bill. And Ann Alonzo's one of the people who runs one of those very big programs from promoting local food. So anyway, Friday is all about trade. And, you know, as I said, we started the, you know, first sustainable local food trade show 10 years ago, and it's still here. And all the big trade buyers in Chicago now come to the show. Paul's also doing a program on growing your business with value-added products. So, you know, and Friday's just chock full of things, butchering and retailers and everything else. So, you know, how you learn about the business of food. And then, of course, there's that yet-to-be-named party on Friday night, which is the best party of the year for local foodies, 600 people. We've got a bluegrass band. We even have a band of CSA farmers who are doing a preview of their talent show that's going to happen the next day at the Hideout. But they're going to be doing a little performance, and so it's fun. And we've got 25 restaurants, plus of course all the craft beer and spirits and local wineries are there. So it's a very fun day.
And so for people who let me ask you real quick. So for people who might not necessarily be able to, you know, take off time, you know, if their jobs don't allow them to be there on Friday, they certainly could come to the reception Friday night, having not attended any of the other events.
It's a separate ticket. Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's really a party. It's a benefit for our nonprofit. And it's really a fun time.
And what is the nonprofit? Could you?
Sure. Our nonprofit is called familyfarmed.org. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, our mission is to promote sustainable local food.
And that banquet, that evening, that reception, whatever you want to call it, is fabulous.
Which it does have a name, but that's for listeners.
But I've been a couple of times, and I've been introduced to some wonderful restaurants because the foods are wonderful foods cooked by local chefs, and they have. Correct me if I'm wrong about my memory, Jim, but I remember, I think there were wines from both Illinois and Michigan.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a lot of fun. Music, it's a great time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. It's not to be missed if you're into this stuff.
I'm noticing more and more restaurants in my area. I was actually, sorry, got distracted because I wanted to see who's going to be there, what restaurants and what wineries, because I'm noticing more and more menus that I come across say, you know, that the chicken was from this farm in Illinois or the eggs were from this location in Indiana. And I'm loving when I do go out, noticing that more and more. I would imagine that this is becoming a trend that it was part of your vision of hoping to see in Chicago and elsewhere.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, our first trade show 10 years ago, you know, we had 300 people there, 50 farmers and 300 people there. A lot of the people there were trade buyers, a lot of restaurants who were increasingly interested. It's just taken off from there. You know, some of the restaurants or food businesses that'll be there, you know, even at Eataly, you know, the new kind of Mario Batali Italian theme park, food theme park, Emporium in downtown Chicago, they're going to be there sampling both, you know, prosciutto di Parma from Italy and then some, you know, local salumis from, you know, done here in the Midwest. Life Kitchen, a new restaurant that was created by the former president of McDonald's, has now launched an organic restaurant called Life Kitchen, and I think they've got over 10 now across the country. They just opened a Chicago one, and they're going to be there. We've got five different Let Us Entertain You businesses, Paris Bistro and Big Bull, you know, a few of their other properties, Brown Trout, Chicago Diner for the vegetarians, and Big Jones, Paul Fairbach. And Paul is one of seven James Beard recognized chefs that are going to be doing demos primarily on Saturday. And to have that many James Beard recognized chefs in one place, you know, is pretty remarkable.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, Brown, really proud of that kind of representation.
Brown Trout was a restaurant that I specifically had in mind. And not only do they buy locally, but they actually walk down the block to buy from the weekend food. Holy cow, I'm losing my words.
Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market, thank you so much. From the Farmer's Market, I mean, talk about buying local. They come straight down to the street. Because I was working at a Farmer's Market at a vegetable stand, and we would always, you know, siphon off tomatoes and various herbs and spices that we knew that they were going to be needing that day. So, you know, and Catherine Ann confections. If nobody's tasted Catherine Ann's candy, you definitely need to be there Friday night, which we do have a winner. Steve apparently knows the answer to our question. Steve, what is the name of the Friday night banquet?
It must be Localicious.
It is Localicious. It
you
is
got
indeed.
It, Steve.
Thank
so,
you.
Steve, will be if you'll hold on and talk to Carrie, we're going to get you two tickets, and you can work out with Carrie what you want to attend, whether it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday's event. But have you been to Localicious?
I may have been. I don't. Where was it held in the past? In the same
gym?
It's always been at part of the Good Food Festival. So, you know, now it's at the UIC Forum in Chicago at Halstead and Roosevelt.
I kind of remember there's something like that.
Chicago
being...
Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And then one of our first year was Navy Pier.
Okay, yes, I have, and it's just a great thing. And what you guys are doing is great, so thank you so much for this.
Well, and thank you for listening.
Look forward to seeing you, Steve.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. Thank
you
so much.
Well, thanks so much for listening. Congratulations.
Well, that's great.
So we need to hop to commercials. I'm not sure where the time just went, but Jim Slama from Good Food Film Fest, or Good... Boy, I'm going to keep doing that today. Good Food Festival. And Paula Sagnoff from Zingerman's Deli. Hold on, and we will be right back. This is Lisa Albrecht filling in for Mike Novak, and we have Kathleen Thompson here in studio as well. And we, of course, have Denny sitting at the desk giving us a hand, keeping things running as smoothly as he can keep us running.
You guys are doing great.
He's doing the smooth part. We're doing the
the song and dance part.
Don't be so modest. You guys are doing great.
And on the phones, we have Jim Slama from the Good Food Festival, as well as Paul Saginaw of Zingerman's Deli. And they have been giving us a great preview for the festival that will be happening next weekend at the UIC Forum on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Jim, we haven't really talked an awful lot about the Saturday event, which I think is a little more family friendly. It looks like there's a lot of activities for a lot of different folks to be doing that day.
There are. We've got an exhibit hall with over 150 farmers and food artisans, restaurants, NGOs, including a CSA pavilion. A third of our exhibitors are farmers. And if you are interested in buying direct from a farmer, maybe getting, you know, weekly deliveries, both CSAs and also, you know, home delivery services like Fresh Picks are there. You can talk to them about what they offer. There's a kids' corner. And by the way, kids get in for free. So parents buy a ticket, the children get to come along with them. Chef demos from Rick Bayless, one of the best chefs in America. Paul Verant, Erling Wu Bauer from Nico, which is a very hot new restaurant in Chicago, Jason Vincent from Nightwood, a lot of other more in-depth workshops. We've got one on
Jim, is somebody juggling bottles behind you? There's a fair amount of noise in your background.
That might be Paul.
Maybe that's Paul.
It's not me.
No, it must. Somebody.
Actually, I was hearing it too, so I don't think it was me. But anyway.
Oh, well, okay.
So we've got a butchering class, and with Brian Paulson, Brian Paulson, who's a chef from Michigan, and Michael Ruhlman. Michael Ruhlman's a master author who's written 4 cookbooks with Thomas Keller from the French Laundry, so he's serious. And Paulson's a master butcher, so they're actually, for 3 hours, they're butchering one of Greg Gunthorpe's hogs, and then they're going to teach people about curing and making charcuterie. So we have intensives like that, another one on home brewing, an urban garden bus tour, so we're going to 4 urban farms in Chicago on a bus.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And it's really cool, actually. Growing power on the plant and Windy City Harvest and growing home. So 4 really, seminal Chicago urban farms.
Oh, and those are great places. Those are great places. Really, the plant is just fascinating. I love that place.
It's an incubator for food businesses and urban farming.
Really. And Jim, what does it cost to come? Can you come just on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday, if you just want to go to the exhibit hall, and then we have the Good Food Commons, so a lot of mini workshops, it's $10 online. And
wow.
So it's really affordable. Or if you want, like Paul's doing a workshop so you want to start a food business, based on what he just told us, we couldn't ask for a better expert than he.
Absolutely.
And I think he's on that with maybe Catherine Ann from Catherine Ann Confections, and John Edel from The Plant, I believe, is also on that. So, what a great group of people to learn about starting a food business. And then we've got lots of other workshops, one on the growing food co-op movement. So people can learn about, there's like all these co-ops either just started or about to launch in Chicago. The future of farmers market. So we've got the head of the New York Farmers Markets Program, which I think is the best in America. He's speaking. Some farmers market experts from Green City Market and other farmers markets in Illinois are speaking. So, it's just really a jam-packed day. A couple of films. Actually, one Friday night before Localicious is Symphony of the Soil by Deborah Coons Garcia. Deb was Jerry Garcia's wife. And after his death, she started producing films. She did one on GMOs, which was awesome. And then this is her new film about, the soil and the importance of soil in our life. So it's really just a jam-packed 3 days of fun, but also a lot of information.
I got to tell you, Jim, Michael and I were at the bank the other day getting a new bank account and mentioned the Good Food Festival and started talking about it a little. Our bank president went online, and we didn't get another bit of attention from him from that moment on.
Well, I keep getting lost in the website.
Yeah,
people are talking, and I'm reading the website and looking at the schedule.
He just sat there looking at the website. I think our bank president is going to be there at the Good Food Festival.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for the pitch.
Well, and the website is remarkably easy in terms of, working out your schedule and trying to figure out what you want to go to. It's broken up by each day, and then you can basically put your events into your shopping cart, and it's very affordable. This is an incredible amount of information at such a great fee.
Well, I appreciate that. And, bottom line is, we're a nonprofit, so we're not here to make a ton of money. We're here to support the movement, support the farmers, support the entrepreneurs, and support people to learn about this and connect with producers and really get inspired so that they can incorporate more of this in their own lives, which, of course, is, it's happening all around us, and which is an exciting thing. And, when you look at the success of Zingerman's, what did you say, Paul, 32 years?
32 years on March 15th.
And 650 employees.
But on Friday, March 14th, 38 years of marriage. That's even more important.
Wow.
Well, congratulations.
We get to meet your bride in town. Is she going to be hanging out with you at Local Licious?
Absolutely.
Good. Well, I think the local food movement has been spreading and spreading, and even small restaurants that are in the neighborhood have started going in that direction and bragging about it because that's what their customers want, and it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Paul and I had an interesting way to meet. I was actually at Zingerman's for in Ann Arbor. I was there for the Ohio State-Michigan game. My girlfriend is a Michigan alum, and I'm an Ohio State alum.
Oh, dear.
Tickets. Yeah, I know. Okay, it's a mixed relationship. But she's got season tickets. And so her father used to play for Michigan. So we were in town for the big game, of course. And the right team won, which I was quite grateful for. But the next day, we went to Zingerman's Roadhouse for brunch. And, you know, we're sitting there, and I see all these Secret Service agents, you know, with their little earpiece and a Michigan State trooper. I'm like, what the heck is this all about? So I'm like, there's got to be a politician here. So I scan the room, and, like, in the table right next to us is Eric Cantor, the number two in the House of Representatives of the United States. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is a big politician. And I knew that this guy was bottling up the farm bill because, you know, they wanted to really cut food stamps. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm ready to go over there and talk to him. And my girlfriend's like, if you go crash his family gathering, like, I'm never talking to you again. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do something. Maybe I'm going to write a story about this. So I decided to write a story about how Eric Cantor needs to be a good food champion. And anybody who can appreciate Zingerman's and all the amazing things that they're doing with local food can certainly support a farm bill that supports local food. So basically, Zingerman's was the analogy. You know, they, you know, employ 600 people. They've created all these businesses. They're all about local food. They're buying local grains. They're buying food from local farmers. And, you know, and then it's like, and so here's all the things that you can do in the farm bill. And then I, you know, called up Zingerman and was like, hey, Paul, would you give me a quote? And so he gave me a, you know, a great quote, you know, talking about, you know, Thomas Jefferson's support of agrarianism and, you know, the backbone of the American economy. And then lo and behold, Paul, you know, I think Eric Cantor listened to us because we got a
That's a great story. That's a great story, Jim. And we're going to have to.
Well, actually, we've got a caller. If you have just a second, Jim, and then we really have to wrap up because we've got Beth Drucker from Go Green Well Met. But Chris from Palatine is calling in, and he's got a question about Wisconsin and buying local.
Yes. I wonder if any of you are familiar with Odessa Piper.
Oh, yeah, Odessa, her restaurant, L'Etoile.
Yeah, right, exactly.
One of the first farm-to-table restaurants, certainly in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, it opened up in 1976, and she sourced, because it's right outside the Dane County Farmers Market, which is the best farmers market in the world. If you've never been there, go, because it's just you could eat, except for the fact they don't have any liquor, you could eat very comfortably just by what you picked up there. You know, they should have some local beer and wine, and then you could totally live off of what you get there. And she was actually a protege of a woman called Joanna Guthrie, who opened up the Ovens of Brittany in 1969. So,
wow.
You know, what you're doing, what you're saying is nothing new in Madison. I mean, they, you know, they, you know, are really very, I think, very advanced there. And, you know, wonder if you're ever going to entertain about getting people from, you know, a little bit north of the border.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people from Wisconsin, both farms that are part of it, as well as food businesses. In fact, Tara Johnson, who created Tara's Way, you know, she's speaking at a financing conference on Thursday. So, you know, quite honestly, I think the local food movement in both Wisconsin and Michigan are in some ways better than Illinois because they've got more fruit and vegetable production than we do. So, yeah, we like Wisconsin. We like our farms, and we encourage them to sell into Chicago. I mean, Illinois is a $50 billion market for food, and probably 97% or more of that is grown out of state and even out of region. So, you know, one of our goals with this thing is to really ramp up the regional production. I mean, talk about an economic engine. If we increased it by 20%, there'd be $10 billion more in new food sales every single year. You know, the economic development and the jobs associated with that.
Well, I think I heard.
I'm so sorry, guys. We have got to go. Okay. We are really running out of time. Chris, thank you so much for calling. Folks, you've been listening to Jim Slama at the Good Food Festival. Jim, we are so excited about the event next weekend. Thank you for all your work in hosting it, putting it together yet again. Folks, if you're looking for information, you can go to goodfoodfestivals.com. Paul Saginaw of Zingerman's Deli, thanks so much for taking time on your Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you next week.